B'choros, Perek Vav, Mishnah Yud, Beis 6:12. So in the previous mission, we wrapped up the list of the momen kavuin, the permanent blemishes which render a b'chor permitted to be slaughtered outside of the temple and eaten over there. Here we're going to have blemishes which are in the middle, meaning they don't permit you to slaughter the b'chor and eat it outside of the temple, but yet the animal is sufficiently deficient or blemished that it may not be slaughtered and brought as a korban at this time. So we really have two separate things that could be happening here. We either could have what's called a mum she'eno kavua, a temporary blemish, which we can expect might resolve itself. And if it does, then the animal would become once again permitted to be brought to korban. In the meantime, you can't do anything. You have to wait and see either it gets a permanent blemish or the temporary blemish resolves. There's a second issue as well here, a potential in some of the case of the mission here, which is that it isn't a permanent blemish and it isn't a temporary blemish in the sense that it would be permitted or forbidden to slaughter in either place. It's that the animal is got the intrinsic sanctity of a korban because it's not blemished, and yet it's not nice enough to be brought as a korban. The pasuk says you have to bring mivchar nidreichem, like the choice of your offerings, and from there it's understood that extended to korban, so you don't have to be mivchar, like minamuvchar, they have to be sort of in a relatively ideal state, and not, you know, second sugbet, you know, second degree, you know, second class type offerings. Okay, so our mission will talk about both of those things, temporary blemishes, which we have to wait to see what happens next, or just simply it's permanently less than ideal, in which case, again, since midoraisa, it's not blemished, it can't be slaughtered outside the temple courtyard, but yet it's not fitting to be brought, and therefore it has to be, you know, you can't bring it either. Says the Mishnah, Eilu she'ein shochatan aleihen, the following are problems that a b'chor could have, really, to a large degree applies to non-b'choros, well, let's talk b'choros here, that b'chor could have, which makes it that you can't shecht it in the mikdash, because it's not fitting to be a korban, below b'medina, nor can you shecht it outside of the mikdash and eat it over there. First of all, you have chavarvad v'hamayim she'enim kavuim. You recall back early in the parak, we said if it has a permanent problem of these little white flecks that stick around for 80 days, chavarvad, from the word like chivri means white, white flecks in the eye, but they're temporary, they come and go. So while they're temporarily there, it's a mum she'enim kavuim and can't be brought. And mayim she'enim kavuim means watery eyes that are sort of not permanently watery eyes. They can be fixed potentially with this recipe the Mishnah said before. In the meantime, until it's been confirmed that it's permanent or not, so you can't slaughter it because maybe it is, maybe it's not permanent. Also, v'chita v'apnimios shenifkmu, if it has chipped molars. You recall we talked about how all three of the kagot sheep have these front incisors, 8 teeth in the front, which if they're chipped, that's a mum kavua. But we said it doesn't have a mum kavua unless, I mean, this is how we paskin, that one of the molars in the back are missing altogether. What if it's just chipped? So that means it's certainly permanently, it's not going to grow back, so it's kavua, but it's not considered a mum because it's not really so visible from the outside. However, it downgrades it from being min ha-muvchar. It's no longer an ideal offering because it's got a chipped tooth, and therefore you can't offer it, but you can't slaughter it either. Aval lo ne, sorry, I read that badly. I should have read it. The chitav ha-pnimios shenifkemu aval lo shenekru. If you have a molar that's chipped but hasn't been totally removed, like I explained. Then you have ubal grav. A grav, now the pasuk actually says if it has a grav, that is a balmum, but the question is, this grav is some kind of like skin lesion or infection that the pasuk talks about a permanent situation. Here we're talking about some kind of like scab that's growing over some skin affliction, which can mean expected to heal itself. So it's now moist and not healed, and therefore it's not considered to be, it's going to heal, so it's not a mum kavua, but it's currently, you know, kind of unsightly and gross, and therefore it's defective. The animal's not healed, and therefore it's still a mum over. Also, bal yabeles, the animal that has a, like the wart in its eye, again, we said, early in the parak, we said two things. First, we said, things in the white of the eye don't matter. Then we said, oh, but if it has a yabeles, a wart in the white of the eye, and certainly on the black of the eye, even the white of the eye, and it has a hair coming out of the wart, that would be a mum kavua. Here we're talking about a wart that's in the eye that doesn't have a white hair, a hair coming out of it. So since it's permanently in the eye, it's not going to go away, but it's not that bad. It's not considered to be a mum that you could shecht, but it's also not considered to be muvcha that you can bring as a korban. ubal chazazis. Also, if it has some other kind of chazazis, it's also some kind of skin affliction. There are different types. We're not talking about the chazazis, the mitzris, the Egyptian version, whatever it means. But the point is, this animal has some kind of like skin ailment, some kind of like whatever it is, you know, boils or whatever it is. Also, v'zaken v'chola u'mezuham. These three learn out from the word min three times in the psukim. If it's old, what does old mean? So old objectively means more than 2 years old for a sheep or a goat, or 3 years old for past its third year for a cow or bull. So that's considered old. Or for that matter, it's old. It just, you know, it kind of quivers when it stands. The chola is animal which is sickly, meaning when it stands up, it quivers because of its unwell. And mezuha means the animal smells. So we're not talking about an animal that, I don't know, has gas, animal that it needs a shower and its sweat smells. We mean that the animal, for whatever reason, even after you take it out of the shower, it still smells. So that kind of animal that has that smelliness to it, that's again, it's not considered a mum kavua that you could actually, you know, slaughter it outside of the temple courtyard. But again, it's not muvchar, it's not choice. You can't bring it anymore as a korban. Now, other things. Shenevda bo avera v'shehemes es ha'adam al pi eid echad o al pi ha'balim. Two things that can make an animal go wrong, which are something that happened to it or that activity it did. One is if it participated in avera, meaning bestiality, whether it was the male or in this case the male, right? So then if there were two witnesses, the animal would actually be subject to skila and executed. But if there's one witness, so then it can't be executed, but it also can't be brought as an offering. And similarly, if the person who was involved actually admitted it, or was, you know, the Balaam said it happened, so you have to believe them enough to make it invalid, but it's not enough now. The rules of executing animals are the same as people. It needs to have two witnesses, okay? And we don't have it here. Similarly, if you're talking about an animal like a shor haniskal, an animal that if an animal kills a human being. So similarly, if there's two witnesses, the animal gets executed. If there weren't two witnesses, so then if there's one witness, then again, it won't be executed, but it can't be brought as a korban. Same goes if the owner of the animal confesses that his animal killed someone else. So again, the animal won't be executed, but it can't be brought as a korban. Learn that from Sukkim. Now, next we have, and this is the wrapping up here, we have the tumtum and androgynous. Let's talk about them separately for a second. A tumtum means that the animal has a membrane covering its private parts, so you can't determine whether it's a male or female. It's a suffix. So the tumtum is a suffix male, suffix female, meaning it's a suffix that it's a behor, not a behor. This is a petarechem, the firstborn of the animals, but you can't tell if it's male or female. And therefore, you can't shecht it and bring it as a korban because maybe it's a female. You can't shecht it and out of the basement English and eat it because maybe it's a male and a behor. Okay, that's the tumtum. Androgynous is a little more complicated. So androgynous means that it has both male and female parts to it. Okay, so that means the question is now, what is this? Is this a male that also has female parts? Is this like a suffix male? Maybe is, maybe no. It's a question what its status is. Or maybe it's something else altogether. Maybe there's a third category of males and females, and you have androgynous. There's a third thing. Okay, so we have that three of machlokas happening right now, says the Mishnah. When it comes to androgynous, lo b'mikdash v'lo b'medina, you can neither slaughter it in the mikdash nor the medina. I mean, you can't bring it as an offering or eat it outside of the Beis Hamikdash, just like a tumtum, because this first opinion is, we just don't know its status. So it's a suffix. So you have to be sort of strict in both ways. Which I mean, for example, you have to give it to a Kohen. The Kohen can't do Giza Navodah, but he can't eat either. It's just sort of stuck, nothing to do with it. Rabbi Yishmael disagrees. Rabbi Shmuel Omer, Ein Mum Gadol Mizeh. He says, what are you talking about? This Rabbi Yishmael holds that if it's androgynous, not the tumtum, androgynous, that means it's a Bechor, but it has female body parts, so that is a real mum kavua. And therefore he says, there's no question about it, there's no bigger mum in the world than to have female body parts, and therefore you would be allowed to slaughter it out of the Beis Hamikdash, but until you do, it still has the status of a bechor. So therefore, because it's a male, he holds the androgynous as a male, just, you know, with a baal mum. So you couldn't do giz and avod and the like with it, okay? The chacham, or the third opinion is, Eino b'chor el enigzas v'ne'evad. The Chum hold that the androgynous, the animal that's born with male and female parts, is not a male, not a female. It's neither. So the point is, it's not a male. And if it's not a male, it's not a b'chor. So this animal is just not a bechor. It's exact same as if it were a female. Meaning there's nothing, the halachas of bechor don't apply to it. So that means it doesn't go to a kohen. You're allowed to do gizin avoda. You're allowed to do what you want with it. It's not a bechor. And the halacha would be like the chachamim, says the Bar Tanura. So we treat the androgynous as a thing all to itself, not a male, and therefore not a bechor. And the tumtum is a suffix. We have to be strict both ways because we don't know what it is.